Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education.
It is wickedly hot in North Texas right now, which is to say a perfect time to observe just how mainstream tattoos have become. Ink is everywhere. In fact, whether you can see it or not, an estimated 1 in 5 Americans has a tattoo somewhere. This is Think on KERA. I'm Chris Boyd. So tattoos are no longer the sole domain of biker gangs and men of the sea. You knew that, right? Yet, as my guest will explain, women who choose something other than a small, discreet, feminine tattoo still find people making assumptions about who they are and may find themselves discriminated against in the workplace and hassled or even touched in public. Beverly Yen Thompson is Associate Professor of Sociology at Siena College. Her new book is called Covered in Ink, Tattoos, Women, and the Politics of the Body. Beverly, welcome to Think.
Thanks for having me.
To the extent that it's possible to answer this in any general way, talk about some of the reasons that people choose to get tattoos.
It's a lot of people wanting to express their identity. So perhaps they have, their ethnic identity, their gender identity, their hobbies, whatever that they're really interested in and they want to express strongly, they might put on their body.
Your focus here is not on all women with tattoos, but those who are heavily tattooed. Who would qualify as heavily tattooed?
Right. A lot of the literature on tattoos asks people if they have one tattoo or none. And that is the dividing line previously. And so having one tattoo as a woman is not really transgressive itself, but it's when you have a lot of tattoos that you start getting social static. And so for women especially, you're supposed to keep your tattoos, as I like to say, small, cute, and hidden. And so when it gets outside of that parameter, that's when you get a lot of static in your life and you've crossed the line and become heavily tattooed. But it's especially when you have visible tattoos the public can see.
This is so interesting that men can get tattoos and it sort of reinforces their masculinity. Women get tattoos and somehow people leap to the conclusion that that's a sign of promiscuity rather than femininity.
Right. And historically, tattoos are very associated with masculine subcultures. And so for men to get tattoos, they're just accentuating their masculinity. But for women, they're also becoming more masculine, perhaps, in this stigma perspective. And they're transgressing their femininity, basically. And so it is a problem. And that's where a lot of people, women, get problems, is with people challenging their appropriate behavior as a woman in particular.
How did the first women in our culture start to get tattoos?
You have the women that were part of the circus in the early 1900s, late 1800s, who would collect a lot of tattoos, cover their body, and go on the road with the circus and show their skin as part of that performance. And so that was more the very beginning of women with tattoos, and also women who were perhaps married to tattoo artists and kind of stood in as a portfolio for the artists. And so that's the very beginning of tattooing in the United States with women in particular.
So some women, Beverly, or some people, like their first tattoo just fine, feel it's enough. Others find themselves wanting to add more and more. Is there a point at which, you mentioned that tattoos help a lot of people sort of, express their identity. Tattoos themselves become part of the identity.
Yeah, absolutely. Once you start collecting tattoos, you see yourself. I ask my participants, can you imagine yourself without tattoos? And of course, they all just, had a really strong response and said, of course not. I can't imagine myself without tattoos. And it's interesting when you see tattooed people looking at pictures of themselves from the past. They talk about, oh, I was so naked then, or, oh, that was before my arm was done. And so they do have that, seeing their tattoos as really part of their identity, who they are. And so it does, become part of their personhood.
And based on your own experience and that of people that you've interviewed, there's a difference between, say, the first tattoo that one gets and the 10th. The first one, it would seem like the biggest deal, but it's sometimes the one that people are least excited about later on.
Right. And that's the same with anything. When you start getting into something, you don't know what you're getting into and it's new and you have this kind of newbie process. But only in retrospect, you really understand the culture of tattooing, how it works. And so you might have more elaborate tattoos later on in your collection career. But yeah, the first tattoo, you're just kind of putting your toe in the water And so it might be something small and hidden and maybe silly or not really thought out, or maybe it's really thought out. So it really depends. But a lot of times with the participants especially, I mean, one of the things they say is in retrospect, they wish that they could have just started their bodysuit from that very first tattoo. Mm. But of course, they had to go through the process of collecting 2 or 5 or 10 tattoos before they really started to have an idea of how they wanted their entire tattooed body to process. And so it's a growing experience. It's part of life and things happen like that. So you don't start some project knowing the full how you want it to end, so you don't get that total picture.
You write about being grateful to the first artist you visited for talking you out of a Beverly and blank forever tattoo because of course you broke up with your boyfriend from when you were 17.
Right. And, I was 17 years old. So that's another factor of a lot of people get their tattoos right when they turn 18. I mean, in our culture, we're lacking this kind of coming of age experience. And so tattoo can be a stand-in for that kind of experience. And so when you have an 18-year-old making a decision, and especially when the motivation is, oh, I'm 18, I need to do something to mark that, then, you'll get what you get. And usually people are not that well thought out. However, my second tattoo was a feminist tattoo on my arm, and I still strongly resonate with that tattoo. So it's a learning experience, but at least by the second tattoo, I think I was on my way.
You were on your path.
Collecting tattoos that I can appreciate to this day. And that first one is covered up, and that's part of the tattoo collection process as well, is that happens. That's life, things happen, and you don't know how it's going to go.
So you write about the fact that people who are not familiar with the culture, the subculture of being heavily tattooed, apparently say a lot of things that are dumb or poorly informed. I think there are a lot of people who assume that if you are heavily tattooed, you are hoping that I will comment on your skin.
Right. And this is just a typical thing of any kind of outsider to a subculture. They don't really know what's the process of that culture, why things happen. And yeah, it seems kind of obvious, like you did something to your body. It's very visible. So why isn't it appropriate to comment on? But I think the underlying main point of my book is just, treat tattooed people with respect and dignity that you'd treat anyone with. And so, so a lot of times people just get caught up in the moment. They see something, they want to comment on it. But that is a big part of the participants' experiences.
I was really surprised. I read in the book you describe many heavily tattooed women having had the experience of being touched without anyone asking whether they could touch their tattoos. I had just not heard of this, and I assumed it must be an isolated incident. I asked several of my friends, and they said, oh, yeah, it happens relatively often that someone touches them on the arm.
Yeah, and I asked the participants this question, and they would explode with their answer and said, yes, it happens all the time, and I hate it. Maybe they're standing in line at 7-Eleven, waiting to pay for their gas, and someone starts to pull on their shirt from behind, and they turn around, and what's going on? And someone saw some tattoos sticking out of their shirt. They wanted to see more of it. And so, like I'm saying, with just common courtesy, like if you're going to touch someone's body, you ask permission. And through that process of asking permission, you realize that maybe that's not quite appropriate or silly. And also, what are you touching for? Like, tattooed skin feels just like regular skin, so there's nothing to feel there also. But maybe that's part of this outsider perspective, is you don't know if it alters the skin or something. I don't know. But I'm also wondering, like, if women are more touchable than men. And so that's one of the premises I kind of put forth in that chapter. Just thinking about it, like touching some, big macho guy, maybe that's more intimidating. And women also are more this public body. If you think about how pregnant women, perhaps people might touch their belly or try to or whatever. That's a comparison that some of the women put forth. And so I think women are just more touchable, and they're more, women's appearance is a lot more strongly judged in our culture than men. And so it's part of that as well, just women's role and their beauty and their physical presentation and how people feel like they can be commented on more than men.
What did you learn about why some people seem to make the assumption that women who are heavily tattooed are more likely to be promiscuous than their untattooed neighbors?
Yeah, it just goes to this history. Like, our history of tattooing does start out with sailors and military, masculine subcultures, bikers. But that was a long time ago. That was before the 70s, say. I mean, of course, those cultures continue, but before it was more exclusively them. And so since the 1970s, people have been collecting more tattoos, and especially women. But there's, you know, that lingering stigma that really affects all of us tattooed people still. And so there's this thought that, is she, you know, a criminal? Is she a biker chick? Some of the participants talk about how people treat them like they must be a party girl. Or one of the funny stories someone said was, you know, they'd be like on the subway train, like in New York City, and maybe a guy across the way from them is playing air guitar or something, like, so, you know, like a, she's a party girl, she's down to party, or that you're a lesbian, or that, you know, yeah, so it brings in these kinds of slurs that are used against women. And even just thinking about, like, the term tramp stamp, I mean, that is a derogatory term associating women in a particular type of tattoo. And so that kind of brings up the stigma as well.
Is there a stigma? Are people in the community of people who are heavily tattooed, who are interested in tattoos, do they also make judgments about one another? Are they more accepting, or are there sort of codes and signs and symbols that are really familiar to people within the community?
Yeah, well, the tattoo community has this long history, and it's a subculture. And like any subcultures, they have their standards and their insider-outsider status. And subcultures are always trying to, you know, keep ahead of the mainstream. I mean, once the mainstream starts to co-opt their culture, then, you know, they don't like that. They want to say, oh, I was here before this. I was an original. And so they have to keep ahead of whatever this mainstream co-option is of their culture. And so within tattooing culture, for example, one example is that you collect tattoos, and it's you know, you have to respect the art and respect the process. You collect tattoos from artists you admire and look up to. And so, and also you get tattoos that are, you know, on a hidden part of your body. And once you have lots and lots of tattoos, then you can start getting tattoos on your public skin, as it's called, which is, you know, your visible skin, your forearms, your hands, your neck, your face, stuff like that. And so historically, like, for example, a tattoo apprentice would collect a lot of tattoos as part of their apprenticeship and learning the art and learning how it feels and all that, the styles. And so they collect a lot of tattoos, and then maybe they get more public tattoos later. And there was this cartoon more recently that showed a contemporary tattoo apprentice where they, you know, he has his shirt taken off, and he only has his public skin tattooed, and all the rest of his body is empty. And so I think that tattoo culture, looking at how mainstream folks are co-opting or adopting more tattooing practices, you know, it's when you get tattoos that are on public skin, when you don't have the experience of being a heavily tattooed person and just the process of learning what it means to be heavily tattooed and the experience of, you know, learning these reactions that come with the territory. And so to get just a tattoo on your forearm, you know, that's jumping ahead.
Beverly Yen Thompson is my guest. She's Associate Professor of Sociology at Siena College and author of the book Covered in Ink, Tattoos, Women, and the Politics of the Body. You can be part of the conversation at 1-800-933-5372. You can email think@kera.org or find me on Twitter at Chris Boyd Think.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education. Fall registration is now open with courses in art, architecture, history, literature, and more. Registration online at smu.edu/CAPE.
My purpose in life is to cause others to reevaluate their own. That sounds kind of stuck up or something, but you know what I'm saying? They look at me and they go, man, she's like really freaky, but you know, she's really nice. Wow. Perhaps I should reevaluate how I perceive other people that look like her.
This is Think on KERA. I'm Chris Boyd. You just heard Sailor Cher in Covered, a documentary by Beverly Yen Thompson released in 2010. We're talking to her today about her new book, Covered in Ink, Tattoos, Women, and the Politics of the Body. You can join the conversation at 800-933-5372 or email think@kera.org. That's such an interesting soundbite, Beverly, because it speaks to the fact that there is, for some people who choose to have tattoos, there is a message to the world. Whereas for other people, maybe it really is, it's very personal and they have no interest to interact with anybody about the choices that they've made about decorating their bodies.
Yeah, exactly. And Sailor Cher is an interesting case because she is a tattooed grandma. She has five daughters of her own and many grandchildren. And she has this salt and pepper mohawk, and she's heavily tattooed. She often wears heels and short skirts. And so she's very interesting looking. And she's a lot of the women in my documentary really look up to her as like she's what they want to be when they're older.
Is there some appeal to the fact that tattoos can be perceived as signs of transgression?
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely part of it. I mean, there's so many ways that we can express ourselves, who we are, what we're interested in. And so for people to choose tattooing, you know, you're definitely taking that stigmatized association into account when you collect it. But there's a lot of other reasons you might as well. I mean, for example, for me, I'm originally from Spokane, Washington, Washington State. Oregon, the Northwest, is a very heavily tattooed place in our country. And so for me, growing up in the 90s, it was, you know, it's all my friends, everyone I know has a lot of tattoos. And my good friend was a tattoo artist. And so it just was really natural in that environment for me to collect tattoos. And I also just really loved the aesthetic and the culture around it. But then having lived in many places in the country, including Denton, Texas, where I taught there for 2 years, it's just very different geographically. And now here I am in Albany, New York, and it just seems that the East Coast is not as tattooed as the West Coast. But for me, I'm taking that context of where I come from with me, with my tattoos. But other people, of course, don't have the same context. And so it's really interesting just for us who choose it or for the outsider who's looking at it. They're taking their whole context of what they think of tattoos. Like, for example, my father's 88 years old, grew up in Nebraska, and so he has a very different context of how he sees tattoos, and it's so radically different than my perception that it's just irreconcilable.
I'm going out on a limb here, but I think the stereotype is that college professors are apt to be politically progressive in some cases, also apt to be sartorially conservative. And I wonder mm-hmm. how often, you know, your students have been surprised. Are you the only professor that they have who has tattoos? And has that been an issue for you with students?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have a chapter in the book that talks about tattoos in the workplace and the policies around that and so on. And it really depends on the culture of that particular workplace. And being a college professor is a very conservative environment as far as how people dress and stuff like that. And also you have to think about the context of our profession where at least a third of all professors are 60 years and older. So it's also just a generational thing. And, you know, generational thing of who has more tattoos and who doesn't. So you're just going to have the younger folks having more tattoos than older folks. And so if a third of academics are over 60, you know, probably a lot of them do not have tattoos. And then for us junior faculty, I mean, we're really concerned about getting a job, fitting in, being appropriate, and we internalize a lot of these standards. And for me, like, my father was a college professor, he's retired, and like I said, he's 88 years old. So when I think of what does a college professor look like, I think of Dad, and I couldn't be more opposite than Dad, you know? So I was very conservative in how I dressed in the classroom for a long time, and I've covered up my tattoos. I mean, I've never shown my tattoos in class ever. and I've been teaching 10 years. And I taught originally in Miami, Florida, and then in Texas, so very hot weather kind of places. So I was often sweating in my suit. But there is just kind of this standard that you uphold. I mean, certain jobs have policies and uniforms and requirements of what you have to look like. But for a lot of white-collar professionals, there's not necessarily policies, but there's just an assumption that you fit in. You know how to dress. You know how to be appropriate. And also for college professors, we don't need a policy about don't have purple hair and tattoos, because not a lot of college professors are wanting to express themselves in that way. So it's not really an issue. But having said that, there are, you know, younger generations, new faculty, especially the graduate students, I really see having a lot of tattoos. And so as us junior faculty move up in the career, you're going to see a lot more tattoos on us.
In terms of employment discrimination, is there something about the permanence of a tattoo? Because theoretically, you could wear a necklace that I could see that represented something that I found to be inappropriate for the workplace. But I don't know that that would cause me to say you can't work here anymore. But if you have a tattoo with the same thing, there are people who have lost their jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. And with piercing, some jobs might make you take your piercings out. A lot of people, you know, you see them who have a clear retainer where they've taken out just for the day and then they put their jewelry back in at night. You see other people who are wearing a bandage to cover piercings or tattoos. And so, or a lot of people with piercings might just take it out permanently because of their conflict at their job. But tattoos are permanent. And so, you know, the employer has all the power in the situation to define what the employees look like. And you can and will be fired for having a tattoo. And so this is an issue of, like, labor power and strengthening workers' rights in the jobs. And so if we really put more effort into strengthening, you know, the rights that workers have in their jobs, they shouldn't really be judged by their appearance, but how their performance, rather.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go on the phone now to Casey in Murphy. Hey, Casey.
Hello. Is there a... I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Is there any truth to the idea that men and women with a lot of tattoos have become addicted to the pain that they must endure during the process of being tattooed?
What do you know about that, Beverly?
I think of Sailor Cher and the amazing women tattoo artists that I got to meet with my documentary. And one of the most fun moments is when we're all together at a tattoo convention, and we're and one of them, you know, it's tattooing the other, and to see these women, you know, just in pain and struggling and whining when they're fully tattooed and they're heavily tattooed, we kind of get a kind of a kick out of making fun of each other in that situation. And I've maybe met one or two or something of people who actually enjoy the pain or really know how to work with it. But most of us, 98% of us, do not enjoy the pain of tattooing. It's just a temporary thing that you endure in order to have a permanent, beautiful artwork on your body. And the idea of, like, addiction, I mean... that word does come up a lot in relation to this. I would look up the technical definition of addiction and say that that's not this situation. It's just that, you know, people, for whatever random reason, and it really is, you know, random across the board why people really get into this. I mean, some people, you know, when they were 5 years old, they saw some tattooed woman across the street and they were like, wow, what is that? I want to be like that. And for other people, they stumbled into tattooing in their late 20s and it wasn't a big deal and it grew in importance in their life. So it is very random of why people really are drawn to this particular thing. But then they're into it and they want more and more, but some people don't. So... I don't like to use the word addiction because I think it would be technically incorrect, but enthusiasts.
For a woman, Beverly, who has more than like a seahorse on her shoulder or, you know, a daisy on her ankle or something, becoming heavily tattooed also involves not simply choosing a design and going out in the world with it, but forming a relationship of real trust with the artist who's going to perform this. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is a very intimate experience, and especially if you're getting a big artwork done, you really want to vet that tattoo artist. And so, you know, you should really check this person out a lot. Go to the studio, see their portfolio, talk to them, see what the studio's like, see how comfortable you are with them as a person, how comfortable you are in the studio, what all their artwork looks like. I mean, this is a big investment, and you're building this relationship with this person. I mean, I went, got, during the process of making my documentary, I got my entire back tattooed by a tattoo artist in Florida, Sophia Estrella. And I picked her because, you know, she really does this kind of artwork that I wanted to get. And she's an amazing artist with, you know, decades and decades of experience. And but it was really like making a long term commitment to her because I was going to have her do my entire back. And she was in St. Augustine, Florida. I lived in Miami at the time. So I was committing to seeing her every few months and driving all the way up there and giving her money and, you know, having this process that goes on and on. I mean, the process ended up taking 5 years for me. And I moved to Texas, and I would fly out to Florida and rent a hotel room and a car. So it was a huge commitment. And also just, is that person going to really be reliable and be around and stuff like that and negotiating your schedule? So it's a huge investment. And I've gone to a lot of tattoo artists that I really admire. All my tattoos are done by women. And I got a lot of tattoos during the process of this research as well. So you really, really want to check out your artist as much as you can.
For something that's a long-term process that will, you know, cover a large amount of skin area and is pretty intricate and takes a long time, how do you feel about your appearance between the moment you've been you've gotten that design started and the moment it's finished? If there's 5 years in between, do you have a different relationship with the skin that you're planning to cover?
You mean just that it's unfinished?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, with the folks looking at pictures of themselves from the past and saying, oh, I was unfinished at that point. I mean, you know, you really want to photograph the tattoo when it's completely done. But for a lot of people, it might take a lot of time, you know, like especially just financially, you have to save up for it. It's very expensive. And so maybe you just can't afford to finish it very soon. A lot of people don't want their tattoos photographed in the meantime, or they just feel like it's an unfinished, you know, piece of work. And so that is an issue, but, you know, it's just the process of life too. I mean, we are unfinished works also, but I had my back tattooed in the middle of the process, and the picture was put on the cover of a book. And I was thinking, well, it's not done yet. It's an incomplete tattoo, and it's going to be on the cover of a book. And then I realized, well, the outside community doesn't know. They can't tell that it's unfinished or not. It's really just my own perception. Hmm. And so it doesn't really matter. And, you know, that's just how it goes. I mean, that's where you're at.
So I'm in my 40s, the generation where a lot of people have chosen to get tattoos, but have parents maybe who didn't mm-hmm. think that was such a great idea. Talk a little bit about what you've learned about how women navigate, and maybe it's not such an issue now, but navigate the process of, you know, being a bridesmaid in their sister's wedding and then grandma sees they have tattoos or whatever, whatever the situation may be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have a whole chapter in my book about family responses towards tattooing. And, you know, like I said, with the first tattoo, you're 18 years old and you want to show that you're an adult now and you get a tattoo, but you're still living with mom and dad and now you have to go home and cover that up or they're going to, you know, discover it. And so you're living in the house with them and you have to hide it from them or you get into a big fight. You know, some of my participants were rejected from their parents and kicked out. So, or whatever stage of life you're in later when you're older, you don't have to worry so much about your parents and, usually, you know, the people, your partners and stuff like that, that you choose to be around, they're more accepting, but sometimes not. Sometimes, a lot of women come into tattoo shops after they've gotten divorced because mm-hmm. their husband never would have allowed them to get a tattoo and now they can do what they want. Especially that's a story I hear from a lot of older women, you know, in their 60s or older, who have been married for a long time and now their husband's dead and they can do what they want. But the wedding thing is interesting too, because that is a moment when, you know, you're this hyper feminine position, and so, and the dresses are very revealing, and you know, from an outsider perspective, that they might think that tattooing clashes with this hyper feminine dress. And a lot of, you know, the tattooed people that I interviewed don't have a problem with that at all, because they love their tattoos, they love their themselves, and this is their wedding, and so why should they have an issue? But like for me, I mean, I did get married. I'm divorced now, but when I got married, you know, my father hasn't seen my tattoos, and so I had to pick my entire dress just based on hiding my tattoos from my father. And my tattoos are, you know, I have half sleeves on my arms from my shoulder to my elbows. So, you know, finding, you know, what wedding dresses are like, I mean, they're just not covering up that kind of skin. So it was very difficult for me. And I had to actually get a little dress that had a little jacket that came down to 3/4 sleeves that I could wear over the dress. And, you know, just a lot of effort into that. So, you know, or it's just, you know, but it is their wedding, so they should be more in control of that situation. And even just shopping for that wedding dress, being in a bridal store, which is this hyper feminine, you know, location, context, I felt I had to warn the women who work there, like, okay, I just have to warn you, like, when I come out of the dressing room, like, I'm heavily tattooed, so brace yourself, that's what we're working with, and I need to cover up my tattoos with a wedding dress.
Beverly Yen Thompson is my guest. She's Associate Professor of Sociology at Siena College and author of the new book, Covered in Ink, Tattoos, Women, and the Politics of the Body. You can join the conversation at 800-933-5372. You can email think@kera.org or find me on Twitter at Chris Boyd Think.
Funding for Think comes from SMU Continuing and Professional Education, offering the SMU Certificate Program, where you can take courses in art, architecture, history, literature, and more. Registration online at smu.edu/CAPE.
This is Think on KERA. I'm Chris Boyd, speaking this hour with Siena College Associate Professor of Sociology, Beverly Yen Thompson. Her new book is Covered in Ink, Tattoos, Women, and the Politics of the Body. Beverly, I have to ask you, why did you cover up your tattoos from your dad at your wedding? Was that for him or was that for you?
Oh, that's for him. I mean, like I said, he's an 88-year-old, mm-hmm. you know, man who was raised in Nebraska. And so, you know, he's born in 1926. And if you think about what was going on at that time period, what associations does he have with tattooing? I mean, you know, during that time period, you have to get to one of the coasts to see tattoos. And they're probably going to be on sailors and military folks. And so he just has no, that is his concept of tattooing, is just very old school, and he's never been around him. I mean, he doesn't know one person that has a tattoo, and
he knows,
and then
one.
He also well, he doesn't know he doesn't know that he knows anyone, like all his friends and anyone that I've met through him. You know, no, there's no you know, guys that he was hanging out with that have, you know, military tattoos on their forearms or anything like that. But he also, furthermore, hates them, and he notices them. And so I'll be with him, and he'll see someone across the room and say, for the love of God, look at that guy over there. Why would he do that to himself? And when I was 19, you know, one of my good friends in my hometown was a tattoo artist, and he didn't like that. You know, he's you know, prejudiced against that. And why are you hanging out with this tattoo artist? You should be hanging out with your college students. And so, you know, he hates them. And he sees them when we're out, and he speaks out against them, and he doesn't like them. And then he might turn to me, and I did show him two of my tattoos until I was 19. And so he knows I have two tattoos, and then he always, whenever the topic comes up, he's like, "You didn't get any more tattoos, did you? So what are you going to say to that?"
Does it hurt your feelings? Even though he doesn't know that you're heavily tattooed, to know that he would disapprove?
Yeah, sure. Hmm. I mean, you know, in contrast, my mother, who's 65, she's an immigrant from Hong Kong. And, you know, you have to, you know, understand people's context of where they're coming from. And so, you know, for Asian cultures especially, they're very stigmatized against tattooing. And I found in my research that of all the different racial ethnic groups, that it was really the Asian Americans that would go all the way to hide their tattoos from their families, because their families would disapprove so much. They might have associations of tattooing from their home countries in Asia, where it's really strongly associated with criminality, and come here. And then also just the idea that, you know, you're an immigrant and you have children in America, and then, you know, they're getting Americanized in the worst of ways, you know. So that's the context where my mother's coming from. And but she, you know, accepts me unconditionally. And so I show her all my tattoos. And, you know, she doesn't like it, but she lets me be who I am. And she lives in Las Vegas, which, you know, is another very hot area. And so I'm very glad that I don't have to hide them from her in Vegas. And it's also funny with some family members, not just, you know, my family members, but some of my participants that talked about their families in the chapter on family reactions. Just that some of the families would say, you know, hide your tattoos, we're going to go see your grandma or whatever. And then when they get there and they're talking to their friends or their families, they're like, show them that tattoo, you know, show them that tattoo you got for me, you know. And a lot of my participants did get tattoos that represent their ethnic heritage. And so that's some, you know, it's like, well, I got this because of mom and dad and because of, you know, where we're from and our family pride. And so sometimes that can kind of negate the tattoo also. Like perhaps some people get tattoos that are really religious and their families are really religious. So that can kind of, you know, ease it a little bit.
I wonder about this in terms of the appeal of tattoos for women. We are so judged in this culture according to our appearance and according to a lot of things that we don't have a lot of control over, right? There's only so much you can do about how tall you are, about the shape of your body, about the way your hair grows, your eye color. With tattoos, if you find the right artist and you have the money to pay for them, you can have exactly what you want on your body.
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing too. A lot of my participants talk about how tattooing is their armor or it's their filter. And so especially, you know, like for me in particular, I mean, you know, I'm half Chinese, I'm half white, I'm 5 feet tall, and, you know, I'm petite. And but that's not how I see myself. You know, I see myself as this very, you know, strong, powerful woman. And so my tattoos are my chosen way to kind of have that strength and you know, show that it's a filter. It's showing like more of my personality. And so it kind of negates those things that you can't control, like your size and stuff like that, your height.
We have an email here from Jessica who writes, "I'm so grateful to hear this conversation on the show. If there's a message I could share with the non-tattooed population, it is this. Yes, it hurts. No, you can't touch them. And yes, I'm busy with my life and I'm not obliged to tell you the story behind any one of them."
Mm-hmm. Yep, everyone, you know, a lot of people say that. There's only a few people that really want to talk to the public about their tattooing. Like there was one participant who's has a lot of Hindu tattoos on her arm and wants to be able to talk about her religion with the public when they ask. But if you just think about it, I mean, you get this tattoo when you're 18, you know, on your forearm, and then, you know, it's exciting. It's a new tattoo for a year or so, and then you just forget about it. And so when I'm talking to my interviewees, I mean, I would ask them, tell me the story of all your tattoos. So especially I remember Sailor Cher, like, oh, I have to look around and, you know, see what's there. And, oh, yeah, there's this one. And I forgot about that. I mean, it's not at the forefront of our mind, you know, like all of our tattoos. You forget about it. It's just a part of your body. I mean, my tattoo, I have, you know, the entire back done. I never see that tattoo, you know, like I see that thing twice a year. I totally forget it's there. But, you know, if someone saw me at the beach or something, like, you know, that's, I would be a big freak. So we're not thinking about it. It's not at the forefront. You got that tattoo 20 years ago, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, and just to interrupt someone and to say like, hey, you know, explain yourself to me. I mean, you know, that's kind of rude. You know, you're interrupting someone's life. I mean, yeah, they're busy, like she said, and like a lot of my participants say. So I just would caution people that they should really question, like, why are they asking a question? Is it important? Because a lot of, probably 80% of the comments that I get are just strangers basically making the point that, oh, I see you have a tattoo. You know, they I mean, that's not what they say, but what they're saying, I mean, that's their basic,
yeah,
what they're expressing, you know? So, but for example, a good question would be, I really like that style of the tattoo that you have. Who's your artist? You know, I'd like to go to that person and get a similar tattoo or something like that.
So a non-specific compliment is okay.
Right. Or just, you know, I mean, tattooed people are very different. And I'm more introverted and less into the tattoo attention than other people might be. And that is also just a personality thing. I mean, a lot of my participants are just very outgoing extroverts, and so they don't mind, like, the attention. But, you know, for me, I don't prefer it. And for me, it's great when it's not commented on and I can just go about my life, you know, like I'm a regular person. And so I would urge people just err on the side of caution, like just don't comment on it, you know, or, you know, let it go. And so that makes it more normalized as well.
All right, let's jump back on the phones here. We have Audrey on the line in Denton. Hello, Audrey.
Hi.
Hi, go right ahead.
Okay, well, I'm a heavily tattooed woman, and the first few tattoos I got, including a full sleeve, were from men tattoo artists, and I just didn't really like the experience that much, but I felt like, you know, they were more available, you know, there were just more men doing it. I think it was the ego and just the way I was treated by men tattoo artists, and have recently been seeking out more female tattoo artists, and I've found that I feel much more comfortable with women tattooing me, and I'm just wondering if that was an experience that other of your participants had.
Thanks for your
call. Yeah. Absolutely. I have a whole chapter in the book about women tattoo artists working in this male-dominated profession. And historically, you know, it was very male-dominated. And women started to come into the industry, besides those few tokens, in the 70s. And so a lot of the women that I interviewed that were veteran tattoo artists got their start in the 70s. And at that point in the 70s, you know, like in my Spokane, Washington hometown, there was only two tattoo shops, and Constance was one female tattoo artist, so you had one in the whole town, and that's the same experience for all of these women that came out in the 70s as tattoo artists. You know, they're the only one in town. But like I said, all my tattoo artists, all the tattoos that I've gotten are by women. I have not one tattoo done by a man, so I don't know that experience personally. But a lot of, you know, women tattoo artists talk about how women tattoo collectors might prefer a woman tattoo artist, and so they get a lot of that business. But then they say a lot of guys would prefer to have a female tattooing them as well, so they get a lot of that business as well. So whereas some customers, you know, continue to have this kind of sexist perspective on women working in the industry, or maybe they don't even see them as artists. They think that that's just the shop girl or the receptionist or something. And a lot of my artists talk about that experience of being overlooked as a real artist. And so, but I think for every, and some people, some men would not get tattooed by a woman. And so one of the artists talked about how a guy was looking at her portfolio and said, I want this person to tattoo me. And she's like, well, that's me. She's like, well, I don't want to get tattooed by no chick. And she's like, well, you know, find someone else then. He's like, well, I want the artist who did this to tattoo me. She's like, well, that's a chick, you know. And then he begged her to do it. And she's like, well, here, you know, you made me feel uncomfortable. And now you're begging me to do it. And so she rejected his business. So, you know, but I don't want to get into saying like, this kind of women are like this and men are like this, because, you know, people are very different. But you do have shops that are male dominated, and the atmosphere can be very different. I mean, the atmosphere in tattoo shops varies widely. You can have these street shops where they're doing more walking customers, and they have, you know, the tattoo designs on the wall, the flash sheets, and maybe some loud music or whatever. And then you have these shops that are like high-end hair salons, you know, with the Buddha designs on the wall and the water fountain in the lobby. And they're just, you know, lots of decoration and, you know, receptionist there, separate rooms for every artist. So, but it's not necessarily a male or female artist thing. It's just, you know, check out the shop, see how you feel there, meet the people. And like the caller said, I mean, she was... It was kind of a choice based on convenience, and I think that that's, you know, what a lot of people are going to go with. But, you know, the tattoo, getting a tattoo is something special, and so take some time, you know. Take a lot of time to explore the artist. Maybe you go to a different city or something. You might travel a little bit, get out of your area, and really find that person that works for you.
Is there any evidence, Beverly, that, like, my kids' generation will be less interested in tattoos because so many of their parents and their parents' friends had tattoos?
I think that's true. And I think that we are on a downward trajectory right now. I think that my generation, I'm 38, and so I think that my generation is a lot more tattooed than folks that are younger than me. But at the same time, they're younger, so they just haven't had enough time to get tattooed. I mean, you know, like I teach at a you know, small liberal arts Catholic college in the Northeast, and I ask my students, you know, how many of you in a room of 25 have tattoos, and maybe there's one or two, but that's also just the very different population that's at my school, because I tell them, you know, if I was teaching at the state university across town, a lot of my students would have tattoos. And so it's also just your demographic, your class background, your geographic background, your socioeconomic background and stuff like that. But I do think that younger generations are less tattooed than in the 90s. I think it was really a lot more popular.
Beverly Yen Thompson is Associate Professor of Sociology at Siena College. Her new book is called Covered in Ink, Tattoos, Women, and the Politics of the Body. Beverly, thank you so much for spending this hour with us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pleasure.
Think is produced by Stephen Becker and engineered by Shelley Canavy. Lindsay Connect is associate producer, and we've had help on the phones today from Jose Carrion. Our executive producer is Jeff Whittington. You can find me on Twitter at Chris Boyd Think. The show's email address is think@kera.org. Once again, I'm Chris Boyd. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.